Psalm 100. We'll read it together out loud. Ready? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Heavenly Father, thank you. Bless the reading of your word, and bless this time, Lord, of praise and testimony, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I called seven of our men today and asked them if they would to agree to come and I told them this. I think I said this phrase to every one of them. I want you to just come and brag on the Lord for a while. So if I could have those men that I called, if you'll come and set up here together on the front row, we are going to have our service tonight be the testimony of these men. And they're going to just share for 3 or 4 minutes. That's what I told them, around 3 or 4 minutes. 7 times 3 is 21. If they all stay within 3 minutes, you'll be out of here in 21 minutes. 4 would be 28. You could be out in 28 minutes. If one or two of them just get in the spirit and go on, then you can let them know about it after the service, all right? And so, amen. No pressure, guys, though, amen. And so what I'll do is, I think since you just said in that order, Brother Dively, I'll have you come. And I do appreciate these men. I didn't choose these seven and exclude anyone for any reason. Stop reading whatever you're reading into it and just relax and be blessed, okay? And I did see a couple names that God said, oh, no, don't go there. But just kidding. But since you're thinking it anyway, I thought I'd just mess with you a little bit. So, all right, Brother Dively, then we'll just have you follow one after another.
Well, a lot of you probably think it's Sunday because I usually not wear a suit on Wednesdays, but some of the things I wanted to go over that I'm thankful for, the good Lord has taken care of me all these years. A lot of times I didn't know it, and he tried to get me turned around and do the right thing, but I never paid attention. I just went along my merry old way. Kept doing the things that I was doing. I used to drink a lot, smoke, the whole shot party, which was not right, and the good Lord knew that. And he tried to turn me around, but I didn't pay any attention. And finally, I don't know, he got us to move to Indiana, and then we opened up a restaurant in Hymera. And my wife and I said, we need to find a good church to go to. And we come over here a few Sundays and listen to Pastor Ross and Pastor Jerry. And we liked the church. We liked the people. And what I liked about it was that they preached the Bible and told the Bible the way it is. No matter what, it doesn't matter who that don't like it. That's too bad. But he tells the truth. A lot of people don't want to hear the truth, and they want to do the things that they want to do, which is, I think, is not right. And I was thankful for my wife. If it wouldn't have been for her, why, I don't know where I'd have been or what I would have done, but she helped me get straightened out some. And after 55 years, why, she did a good job. It took me a while to train her. But and we had 2 children. My daughter's still alive, and she's not in real good health either. But my son, he passed away when he was 48 from cancer. But the good Lord had a reason to do something, and I still don't know what it was, but I know that someday I'll probably find out. And there's a couple things that our granddaughter was sick here a week or two ago, and she was really pretty bad, and a lot of prayers from you and a lot of prayers from us. Well, she's home now. She's doing better. She's eating some, and she's starting to walk. she couldn't walk because her joints and stuff hurt so much. And one time my brother was in a hospital. He was in pretty bad shape. And the doctors told us one evening that he didn't think he was going to make it through the night. And he said he did all he could do. And he said it was up to the good Lord. And he said, from here, he says, that's it, you know. And so I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, something told me he's going to be okay. So I told Linda, I says, hey, he's going to be okay. He's going to make it, you know. And he did. And another funny thing, we was in Arkansas one time, and I had a dream that my daughter had a lump on her breast. And I get up that morning, and I told Linda about it. I says, you better call her. And she says on the phone, she says, well, how would you know? She says, because she was going to the doctor that day. She said, your dad had a dream. So I think that was up to the good Lord, too. He must have wanted me to know that for some reason. And he blessed me with so many things, even though I wasn't doing the right things. I've had good jobs. I made good money. And I blew a lot, squandered it. But he still took care of me. And then Pastor Jerry stands up here and he says, along this line, somewhere along this line, when you were saved and date and time and this and that. And every time he would say that, I would try to think and I'd think and think, and I couldn't remember. And the more I tried, it bugged me and worried me, and I told him a couple of times. And one morning I was down on my hands and knees, praying over my recliner for the church, some of you probably, and some of the sick, and my family, and I don't know what all, but anyway, it's just, you know, the way you pray. And then somehow it got turned around, and like the plan of salvation, it started coming, you know, and I told the good Lord that, you know, that I was a sinner and I accepted him as my Savior. And I believed that Jesus died on the cross and he shed his precious blood for a sinner like me. And I accepted him, and now tears, I was crying. And oh, it was so good. I felt so good that you can't imagine just how I felt in there by myself. And that was at March the 5th, 2012, 7:30 in the morning. Now I know when it was. And I was baptized on the 10th. But I went into the living room to see if my wife was up or where she was at. I thought she was probably still sleeping, but she was up. That's a good thing, because I'm going to wake her up anyway. She was in the kitchen, and I went in, you know, tears in my eyes and going down my cheek. I told her, I says, hey, I just got saved, you know. And she cried, and I was, and we held each other. And then I told Pastor Jerry what happened, and he says, well, you know what's next? I said, yeah, I get baptized. So the good Lord is good, and it took me a long time to get straightened out. He never gave up on me, and I don't think he ever gives up on anybody, and I'm so thankful for him and thankful for the things that he's done for me and for Jesus that died for a sinner like me on Calvary's cross. I guess that's all I have. I have a lot more, but I don't want to keep you all night, so
thank you.
I'd like to start out tonight by saying that a few years ago, I found myself at a dead-end road and my life had no purpose, no meaning. And I believed with all my heart that there had to be more to life than what I had. And I think the Lord had been dealing with me for some time, although I hadn't surrendered. One morning I found myself in a church not too far from here, and I can remember as the preacher started preaching, my thoughts were going, you know, thinking about all the past, and it seemed like that morning the Holy Spirit had everything set up, because as I'm sitting there, he's saying, well, here's what's happened since you've been in control. And basically it seemed like that I was sitting there watching a video. It was all so vivid and real that what the Holy Spirit was revealing to me. And as I sat there listening to the preacher preach, I couldn't tell you what he preached. But I know that, you know, I knew after that day why I was there. And I know Pastor Jerry says a lot of times that we're not here just by coincidence. And of course, you know, all of you who are Christians and you've been born again and received Christ as your personal Savior, that you know why you're here. Anyway, as I sat there and I listened to the preacher preach, one of the things I did remember too, that somehow, and Pastor Jerry just recently talked about this too, that we have built into us, God has built it into us, of his existence. And I knew of that before I ever received the Lord Jesus Christ. I believed that God did exist. And I believe that's also standard equipment in every person. I know a lot of people say that they don't believe in God, but I think they're liars. And you know, I listened to the preaching, and as the preacher preached, I began to think about some of the things that happened in my life and how that I had been in control of my life. I didn't really, you know, want somebody else in control of my life. But that day, as the Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart, that he made aware of those sins that, you know, I had been in control of my life, and that was one of my sins because I wouldn't yield to him. And so as I began to sit there and listen to the preacher preach, I felt the Holy Spirit's conviction on my heart of my sin, and it helped me to understand that I was a sinner as I sat there and listened to the preacher preach. And one of the things that that I thought about too was that you know, all of these things that you know, that's being revealed to me, these are all wrong. These are what I've been in control of. And at that point I did understand that I was a sinner, that I was lost, and that I needed to be saved. And as I sat there, you know, I thought, you know, what do I have to offer? And, you know, I knew that I need to accept Christ as my Savior. But, you know, I sat there brokenhearted almost because I didn't have anything to offer. And then as I sat there thinking about that, then I truly believe that it was God through the Holy Spirit said, what he really wants is your heart. And you know, not only did I feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, but I also felt the drawing of the Father to be saved. And so as I contemplated on that for a few minutes, I did understand that I was a sinner, that I was lost, and that I needed to be saved. And at that moment, I bowed my head and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. And I'll tell you what. I know we talk about, and Pastor Jerry talks about peace with God and the peace of God, and I'll tell you what, it was a joy in my heart that day to sit there and know in my heart that I had accepted Christ as my Savior. And as I did that, after, you know, service that day, I'll never begin to express the gratitude of my heart for what Christ did that day in my heart. And I have to go back, you know, at different times and reflect on that and thank him for that. And I do want to say this, that I'm grateful. You know, I think about this a lot, that, you know, before I ever came into being, Christ died for me. And it, I mean, that's hard for me to comprehend, you know, before I was even thought of. He went to the cross for me, and I'll never begin to fail to give him praise for that. And I want to thank him for another thing, too. Just shortly after I got saved, a day or two later, I made a commitment with God that I would serve him no matter what. And I just want to give him praise and thanks this Thanksgiving for what he did in my heart and what he continues to do.
Well, Pastor asked me to do this tonight, and I thought, man, shame on me if I can't stand up and praise God and give him some thanks for some things. But what these men have already said, and I guess by him, by Pastor asking of this, it made me think of something that I've been aiming to do for a while, and I got out and looked up to see the exact date when I was saved, and November 13th, 1994. It was the day I was saved, and then I was baptized on the 20th. I got that wrote down, one of those, you know, those day planners that I've got in that drawer, honey, all that stuff I got piled in there. It's in there. It's in there. And it's in there. But and over at Bible View, where we were starting to attend church, they was having a revival that week, and I'd wrote in there, I'd attended church on the Sunday before, and in 2 days that week I had attended church. And I can remember it just as plain as day. During that week, I was, of course, that week of November is when the elections was, and I remember standing in line at the polls over at Duggar with my wife that evening, one of those evenings, and she was trying to get me to go to church that night, and I wasn't going to go, and I can remember just how real the conviction was. I mean, that I needed to get saved, and I needed to be in church with my family that. And then that Sunday is when I got saved. But I'm very grateful for that. I mean, that's just and victory that God gives over sin. And I mean, just like Brother J.R. said, he looked down through, when Christ was crucified, he looked down through all the eons of time. And you know, and he knew Val Loveless was a dirty old sinner and he needed to be saved on November 13th, 1994, you know, and I'm so grateful for that. God, he is. He's good. And I looked at this very chapter that we read, and we had a verse number 4 was our memory verse on our bus this month. And I ain't going to reread the verse or the chapter or anything, but that's the verse I looked at tonight. I'm just thankful. I mean, we think about a lot of things this time of year, and I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my wife. I got a really good wife, and I'm thankful for I mean, just things we take for granted, you know, America. I'm just so glad God allowed me to be born in America. And I mean, all the things that, you know, I was thinking, you know, we have everything right at our fingertips. And I mean, right now we're thinking about, think a lot about food this time of year. I think about food all the time, but I mean, we can have anything we want. I mean, here in America, you know, I mean, it's right at our fingertips. I mean, the thermostat for my house is like 6 steps from where I lay down at to sleep, you know, if I don't like the temperature, you know. And then what we have available to us, and good food, you know, we don't have to worry about things not being good. We go to the store, I mean, you can get fresh oysters. We're miles and miles from where oysters grow, you know. We get fresh oysters at the store. And if you don't like fresh oysters, you can get smoked oysters in that can, you know. That put them on a cracker. Man, them babies are good. And hey, we got a turkey in the refrigerator. Didn't have to, hey, thank you, Brother Nathan, Brother Tommy. I didn't have to feed it. I didn't have to butcher it. I didn't have to do anything. My wife went to Walmart and got it for 69 cents a pound. You know, praise the Lord. I mean, just stuff you don't even think about. I mean, how good God is to us, you know. He's just good to us. And but I was thinking about it'd be 25 years ago tomorrow, the first time I was ever in this part of the country, and first trip to Linton, Duggar. I don't think we come through Jasonville, but we come here. This was our first year after we got married, and we come here for Thanksgiving to be with some of my wife's people. And I think back, you know, when I come through Linton and Duggar, and we was over at Sullivan, I know, but here in this area, and just thinking, you know, I was unsaved, and just to imagine, God already knew someday he was going to be able to use Val Loveless to do something right here. You know, as far as I knew, I was just visiting, you know, some family. But someday, God had a plan for, and to think that he could use me. I mean, wow. I was talking to Brother Levi before he started to work down there, and I didn't know what kind of environment Brother Levi had been around, but I was just trying to kind of warn him a little bit or prepare him for what, I don't know, people get underground, they think maybe God can't see them or something, I don't know. But I was telling him, trying to help prepare him, and told him that, you know, as bad as it is, but sometimes that ain't too bad a thing. You know, we sing that song. I mean, it's bad, but we sing that song or hear it sing, "Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and what I might have been." And that's a good reminder sometimes to me when I'm in a place that God's just been good to me. I don't know how he does it, but I'm just thankful. Thank you for this. Is the time clock started? Is it kind of, okay.
I'm thankful I got to go forth, because that means that they talked longer than they needed to, so I don't have to talk very long. I never did write down the date that I was saved. When I was a young man, probably 10 or 12 years old, me and some other buddies in church kind of decided we was going to go forward a certain Sunday, you know, and that's what I did. And for years and years, I went to church camp and all kinds of church activities, and was youth leader at High Merit, the Baptist Church, I thought it was probably okay, you know. I thought I'd went forward and I'd got baptized and thought everything was okay. And then we had an evangelist come here after we'd started coming here to church, Jim Pruitt, and he said, you need to know for sure that you're saved. And I thought I did. I thought I knew for sure. And then the Holy Spirit just kept working on my heart about it. And I can't tell you the date, and I can't tell you the time, but I can tell you the time of year it was. It was winter time, and we were feeding cattle at where I worked. And I sat up in the barn loft, and I took my Bible out, and I said, "Lord, I thought I was saved, but I don't know that for sure." So I took my Bible out and went through the Romans Road that I knew myself, and I said, "Lord, if I ain't, I want to be." And so I am. I talked to Pastor Ross about it, and he said, "Well, you know, if you maybe you was and maybe you wasn't, but you know you are now, you ought to go ahead and get baptized again." And so I did that, and I don't have a doubt now that, you know, maybe I was earlier, but maybe I wasn't too. I don't know. But now I know for sure. And I too am thankful for all the goodness that God has blessed me with. I don't really know even where to begin. I don't have to begin very far back because I only had 3 minutes. I got to do this. I know a few years ago I was diagnosed with cancer about 10 years ago, and I don't know if most of you have heard my combine story. I don't know if you have or not, but I'll give you a short run of it. It was probably a little bit earlier than this time of year, and I was going to pick some corn over on the other side of 41, and I was going down 246, the highway there, and just as I crossed what used to be the old mine road, I lost the steering on the combine. It didn't matter where I turned the wheel at, it didn't turn, and I just met a whole bunch of semis. They hauling coal along there, and I thought, this isn't good. And it actually made a right angle turn, the combine did, and it went in a ditch that was about 5 feet deep and just stopped right there. If it would have went the other direction and into the oncoming traffic, it would not have been a pretty thing. And if it would have just gradually went over at the side of the road, it would have turned over. But it made a right angle turn and squared up right in that ditch. And my brother was driving one of those, I call them Tonka trucks, or the mine trucks. And just so happened he was right there at that intersection when that happened. He jumped out of the truck and seen it was me, and he said, "You okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. No real problem." He says, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, I need to get this thing out of the ditch, because the auger was sticking back up on the highway, and of course the front end was down in the ditch." And he said, "Well, let me call my mine boss." So he called him. He brought a big grow grader up there and towed it out of the ditch and across the road. If you ever been around the mine, you know how muddy it usually is in a parking lot. They just put down new gravel in the parking lot. So they pulled my combine over there in the parking lot, new gravel. And so I proceeded. I called my shop and I told them, bring me a jack and some stuff to jack this thing up with. And my brother was just coming back from the run to the pit to bring coal up. And he said, "What are you going to do now?" I said, "Well, I've been trying to find a portable welder to get this thing fixed so I can get it home." And he said, "There's welders all over this place." He said, "Let me call my boss again." So it wasn't just a few minutes to a guy come up here with a portable welder, and I thought, well, he's just going to park it and tell me to fix it. No, he didn't do that. He started welding on it and got it fixed up enough that I could drive it home. And the reason I'm telling you that story is because that was about the same time I was diagnosed with cancer. And God said, "You might be in a driver's seat, son, but I'm in control of this thing." He said, I'm in control of every detail. He said, you notice how that made a right angle turn, went in the ditch? Yeah, I remember that. He said, that was just to show you. You know how that road grader come and pulled you out? Every detail. Parking lot, newly graveled, not in mud. Every detail. Send a guy up there to weld it, every detail. He said, "I'm going to take care of every detail of your episode with cancer," and he did. And he just gave me that as a little thing saying, "It's okay, son. It's all right." I'd like to read a couple of verses in Psalms 37, verse 4 and 5 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." He didn't only say he'd meet our needs, did he? He said he'd give us some of the things we just kind of wanted to have. I know that's what happened when my wife and I was not supposed to ever have any children. God gave us the desires of our heart, you know. And then in the next verse it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And then verse 25 says, I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen.
Well, let me say this. The best thing that ever happened to Brother Dively was when he moved to Hymera. Okay. And everything picked up from there. These tracks, I hope you're taking some passing them out. I told the pastor I was at a restaurant, and the girl come by, the bus girl cleaning up, and I said, oh, let me give you something to read. I said, this tells about Jesus Christ. The world's wanting to take Christ out of Christmas. She says, oh, yeah, wasn't that his birthday? So I think they need to hear it. Amen. Well, I've got some good news for you. I was going to talk to you about worry tonight. I was worried last week, a week and a half ago. If you'll remember, last Wednesday I put in a praise report for two miracles that God did. One was financial, and he's doing that all the time. And one was operational. And the operational one, I'm not going to tell you what it was. It was something that I was really fretting about, worrying about, and could have been a financial real hardship for me and for the person involved. And but God took care of all of it and met the need completely. It's taken care of now. But I was worrying. And I was going to look up. I looked up in my Bible concordance today, the online or on my computer, and I was going to look up some verses on worry. It's not there. Not one single time does it have the word worry in the Bible. It talks about being wearied, but I think that's mostly from tiring out and things. But worry, God does not expect and even acknowledge worrying. Just as these men have said, things that have happened. Brother Jack just said it perfectly. God had it in his hand yesterday. He's got tomorrow in his hand. And he's got today in his hand. So what have we got to worry about if we know Christ as our Savior? And I just wanted to praise God for what he did before. And if you knew what it was something I saw no end in sight, no way of taking care of it, but God did. And I'm so thankful. And we got 3 minutes. Is that right? 3 minutes? I think I'm a little bit ahead of time. But I got accustomed to that in Bible college. Didn't you have Clarence Doyle here in the past? Clarence Doyle and I were in Bible college together, evangelist. He's going to be with the Lord now. But we were in a public speaking class, and we were supposed to give a speech that went 7 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it was. But I got up, and I was giving my speech, and Clarence was sitting back there, and he went, like, got 4 minutes to go. And I cut it off. And the teacher said, well, that was a good speech, but what'd you quit for? And I said, well, I thought my time was up. So my time's up. I'll go on.
Oh, this is hard to follow, isn't it? I don't know. I'm thankful for my salvation most of all. Just thank the Lord that I got saved, because it wasn't until later on in my life, I was 35 years old before I got saved. And the next most thankful thing I'm thankful for is my family. I thank the Lord for my family. I feel like I got a good family, but I can remember a lot of things, but I can't remember what I ate yesterday. But, I can remember back years ago, I used to go to a little old church over in the country over here when I was brought up in church. And I was about five, six, 7 years old. And I can remember the preacher getting up and preaching the Methodist church. And they preached the gospel, preached salvation. Even I at that age knew that. And I knew that I needed to be saved. Well, I kept putting it off. And so for many years, I lived with that on my mind. Know that I need to be saved. I was going to go to hell if I didn't. And that was probably the biggest fear in my life, going to hell, because I'd heard it preached many times, and I just thank the Lord that my wife, she was, in October of 73, I believe it was, I'd been out on a job working over in Illinois, and I come home, and first thing she told me, said, I got saved. Oh, you know, but it really plays on my heart. I mean, I really thought about it. And so in December, I got saved. The best I can remember, it was December the 23rd, and it was probably about 11:30 and 11:45, because it was of a morning service. Brother Bob Ross was preaching and was in the garage down at Midland. Hey. And Brother Jerry was probably there himself, but he probably don't remember. that's the best I can remember. You know, a lot of times I still visit with Bob Swaby, and we work together a lot. And I go in his house, and I can remember the sanctuary was right there where his workshop is now. And you go into his house it used to be the laundry room there. His washer and dryer. You probably remember that. I see you're shaking your head, and probably a lot of your others do. And I can remember Brother Bob and Brother Charlie English. We went back there. You remember that, Charlie? Okay, I didn't think you would. I barely did. And we went back there, and regular little old folding chairs, what we had in the sanctuary. No, we had theater seats, didn't we? Yeah, we had theater seats in there. But we had folding chairs back there right next to the washer and dryer, and all three of us knelt right there. And I asked the Lord to come into my heart, and I put my faith and trust in him, and I've trusted him ever since. And I'm so thankful for that. And it's just good to see a good crowd here on Wednesday night. And I'm going to give up on my 3 minutes, bud.
Oh, looks like more of you when you get up here. Well, the first thing I'm thankful for is I found somewhere to grow some hair. Like it? Nah. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ. I've got a date too, Brother Dylan. February 19th, next year will be 15 years I got saved. And Taylor got saved, and my wife Angie got saved. And when I got saved, I think it was the last opportunity I had. I felt like I was on a pendulum swinging over hell, and the devil, he was just trying to grab me. And Tom Daffner looked at me and he said, "Don't you think it's about time you got saved?" I mean, pretty blunt. And I said, "Yes, sir," and I got saved. And I knew all about it. I believed in God and Jesus, and I was just stubborn. But I'm glad I got saved. And I'm thankful for the United States of America. Couldn't be in a better country. I've been in some others, and I wouldn't want to be back there. Really wouldn't. Thankful for our government. I know sometimes it's crummy, but, you know, hey, we voted a lot of them out this time. At least you can do that so far. And I'm thankful for my wife, Angie. Help me, it's a good word. I'm thankful for my children. Thankful for Taylor. Pray for him all the time. Just glad they ain't ain't spent my life. I ain't got to go through all that junk. And I hope they don't. That's what I pray every day. Thank you for trust. He's been a good boy. I just hope he keeps it up. And Janae, just keep it up. And I'm thankful for my new daughter-in-law, Sally. I'm glad she's healthy finally. And my little granddaughter. Wow. I'm a grandpa. I think I grew hair down here before I was grandpa. But now I'm thankful for Pastor Robert Ross. Thing I remember about him when I started coming to church here was he'd be preaching something, and it's time to pay attention. He'd say, "This is serious business," and church is. I mean, yeah, you can have fun, but it's serious business. You need to listen when there's a message. And I'm thankful for Pastor Jerry. I know when I got cancer, he called me and he came in the house and he anointed me, and my stomach felt like it was going to rip out. You know, it's just, I never been through nothing like that. And I just went back about a month ago and got tested, and I ain't got any cancer. Amen. Still ain't got any. Thank the Lord, but, you know, that he had the foresight to do that. I thank him for that, and I thank him for all the preachers and men he's had in here preaching, and the good sermons and stuff we've had this year. It's just been great. And for the men in here, the assistant pastors and the men that get up and preach, it's, we've got some really good teachers and preachers. And I'm thankful for the church family. You guys are a blessing. Thankful for my wife. She was got rear-ended in February and didn't even get a scratch. And then her and Janae hit a deer the other day, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and messed the car up pretty good, but they didn't get hurt at all. And thankful for that. I'm just thankful for what the Lord did for Sally with her pacemaker, and that, you know, she was pregnant, and the baby's, she's healthy as can be, that little girl. And I'm thankful I got to go on that missions trip. That was, what an opportunity. And I'm also thankful for the fear of the Lord. I can't get them verses off my mind. I don't want to read them to you. It's Philippians 2, verse 9, 10, 11, if I can see. Just a minute. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm thankful for the fear of the Lord, because that's how I got saved. I was afraid, and I didn't want to face what was in front of me. I was tired of it. And if you're not saved, I hope you get the fear of the Lord and you get saved too. Thank you.
That was good, wasn't it? Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Their heads bowed and their eyes closed. A lot of the men did share, and I'm so glad they did, some details about how God brought them under conviction and the day that they were saved. And some of them are telling stories that were a few years old, and some of them are telling stories that of a salvation that happened decades ago. But I sat there thinking, you know what? God still saves people. He's still in the saving business. If you're here tonight without Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're going to have an opportunity for you to be saved. We have an invitation song in just a minute. And maybe time constraints and everything, I wish I could give every man in here, and we will. We'll do more of this, and some of you all have a chance here and there. But I know that probably everybody in this room sitting there listening to that, thinking of all the good things God's done in your life. Go back and visit the day that you got saved, and you think back over 2014, and just, you just sit there and tell story after story of how God had watched over you, taken care of you, and blessed you, and provided your needs, and helped a loved one, and answered a prayer, and healed a sickness. And so we'll take this invitation time. Let's just have a spirit of thankfulness. If you'd like to pray at your seat if you'd like to come to the altar and pray, whatever. Let's let the Lord know that we are thankful. And if you are here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would love to talk to you tonight. I want to make sure that you leave here saved. God may be convicting you right now, and you say, "Preacher, God, they talked about being convicted by the Holy Spirit and drawn by the Father and all that God was doing, and He's doing that right now to me. I need to be saved." Listen, don't slip out of here tonight lost. Get that thing settled. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. Is there anybody that say, "Preacher, God's just, he's hard on me right now, and he's convicting me, and I know I need to be saved, and it's time for me to just do this and settle it"? Would you just slip your hand up? Nobody's looking but me. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you and let me get you some help tonight? Anybody here just say, "Preacher, I just need to be saved tonight. I just need to be saved. I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior." Anybody at all, just slip your hand up. I'll pray for you. How many of you say, "Preacher, while the men were talking, God sure brought a lot of things to memory of things that I'm thankful for"? Would you raise your hand along with mine and say, "Isn't God good? Isn't God good?" Heavenly Father, thank you for this sweet time. Lord, a time of testimony, a time for just a small representation of the men in our church to come up and just lift up you. And I thank you, dear God. I'm so pleased with the testimonies. Lord, they weren't man-centered. They were God-centered. They lifted up you. They lifted up Jesus. I'm so thankful for that. Lord, as we have a short time of prayer together, Lord, during this invitation time, Lord, I pray that you would help us as best we can to tell you just how thankful we are for all that you've done. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.